Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Amos. This is what the Lord said. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line
in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile, away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, earn your bread there, and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you.
Truly, your salvation is very near to those who fear you, that your glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Faithfulness shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness shall go before the Lord and shall prepare for God a pathway.
A reading from Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things, according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hopes on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
King Herod heard of the disciples' preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. It's quite a text to have for a guest preacher, right? Anybody want to take a stab? So before this scene in Mark, we have the gospel writer Mark. He tells us that Jesus sends the disciples to preach and heal. But then suddenly, in the middle of that story, where the disciples are sent out, Mark, as he likes to do, he stops and tells another story. The story we heard this morning about Herod killing John the Baptist, it's this sordid tale of power, seduction, intrigue, violence, the works, right? And so what does this tell us? What does this show us about God? How does this inform us and preach to us as people of God? I think it tells us that being a disciple of Jesus is not easy. Right? I think we know what it means to live this in this world, and we know that we come across barriers, we come across boundaries, we come across obstacles that keep us from sharing our faith. We come across instances in our life that challenge us, that bring us to doubt, bring us to our knees. And we know, June 2020, our present context with a pandemic still affecting us worldwide, with race relations, divisiveness, with this inability to talk across the aisle to one another. Perhaps in your own life, there's fractured relationships or a recent diagnosis or the challenge and figuring out what it means to be back in a world that looks and feels different since it was in March 2020. Being a disciple and living in Christian community is not easy. And Jesus knows this. And in our gospel this morning, the gospel writer Mark, he's not just portraying Herod's awfulness, which it is awful, but I believe that he's reminding us of the brokenness in this world that we serve and how we can carry the gospel of healing, reconciliation, justice, gentleness, and joy into a world that is full of fear and greed and violence. I think the tragic danger of Herod's court is right where we all are sent to preach the good news. And Mark is just being realistic. And so I wonder then, if we know this reality, if we know the reality that this world is full of challenges and brokenness and sin, what are we called to do and how are we called to be in this world? And so I want to share a glimpse into how God has called and transformed my heart. And so when I graduated college, I flew off 2 months after college graduation to the Gambia, West Africa. It's a country, the smallest continental country in Africa. I was a Peace Corps volunteer. And so as a Peace Corps volunteer, you are living in a community where you're surrounded by the community. You live, you work, you learn the language, and you do what the community does. So I spent a lot of time with the women, working in their gardens, going to the well, and just simply being present, learning and trying to talk with them. And so you become a part of the community, but there's also the reality that I would never be a part of the community, precisely because I was from America, I was a white woman, and I was going home. And yet, I was not unaccustomed to hearing from my family in the community where I lived, and for other, especially little children, they come up and they see a white person and they ask you for money. Very common occurrence, or they ask you for candy. And so you wrestle daily with what it is to give, to receive, to be a white woman, young white woman in a community that had never seen a white person before. And so constantly stretching and challenging my heart. And in my second year as a Peace Corps volunteer, I had become friends with a man named Camara. He worked in the next village over at a historical site. And I would go and visit him, and he spoke English so we could have a little bit deeper relationship and have conversation with a little bit more depth that I could partake in. And one day he came to my small hut that I lived in, and he knocked on my door, which he had never come just to see me. And so he knocks at my door, and what you do in this West African country is you greet people. So somebody is there in front of me, and he says, "Salam alaikum," which is Arabic for "peace be with you." And you respond back, "Malaikum salam," "peace be with you." And then, before any conversation, you continue to greet one another. How are you? How is your family? How are the animals? How is the morning or the evening or the night? How is your work? Back and forth, you do that. And the answer is always peace. Peace only. How are you? Peace only. How is your family? Peace only. How are the animals? Peace only. How are you? Peace. Peace, peace. And so we did this greeting back and forth for a little while. And then he asks me a question. So this friend, who I had gotten to know pretty well in my time there, asks me and says, "I need to ask you for some money. I need some help." And so in that moment of his request, in which he had never asked me for anything before, here was my friend. In that moment, I had to think, what does this mean if I give money to one person? Because the question always was, I can never say I don't have money. As an American, it was not a truth. I had the money, I had the resources, but there's my friend. Do you have some money to help me? And so it literally felt like time stood still. As I'm wrestling with myself, with my heart, with my privilege, what do I do? And so I answered him, and my answer was no. I'm sorry. And you know what his response back to me was? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. In that moment, I literally tell you that I felt like I turned Jesus away at the door. Not something I say lightly. It's not something that I don't continue to wrestle with to this day. But there was a friend of mine, someone I had grown to know and care for, and in the moment of his asking me, I let who knows what in my head respond, no. And yet, in that moment, his only response to me, the person who turned him away, "Peace be with you." And I share this because sometimes the brokenness of this world is in us first. Our hearts are turned away, they're turned inside to things we can't even articulate or even understand. The brokenness of this world is within us, and yet this is precisely where the gospel, where the cross comes and meets us. Because in our lives, we see in this gospel from Mark that it's everything in Mark's gospel, specifically in Mark, is a prelude to the cross and resurrection. Because everything in our life is going towards the cross. The difficulties, the injustices, the tragedies we face, the sin within us, they're not barriers necessarily, but they're the road. This is the setting for the good news. And even with all that evil, even with brokenness and sin, there still is good news from the cross of Christ. The cross is how resurrection begins. The cross is where we as individuals turn and repent and turn to God to say we're sorry, to shine a light on our heart, to turn in another way just ever so slightly, to listen to neighbors and strangers and friends. The cross compels us to shed a light, to ask for forgiveness, and to know that the way ahead is filled with more brokenness. And yet that is where that light, where the cross and hope breaks in. And we know this gospel truth, whether you experienced it here within your congregation, in conversations with one another, whether you've experienced it at work, in your homes, in your broken relationships, at work. And yet the promise is that Jesus walks with us, shining light in our lives and calling us forward even as we stumble and fall and turn others away. And Jesus is offering a word of hope. Peace be with you.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at standrewslutheran.org. That's SaintAndrewsLutheran.org. Have a glorious week.